Your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, speaking today on the subject of reasons for rejoicing in our salvation. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad today to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved on my way to heaven, born again by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God on my way to heaven. And I'm grateful for what God's done and what He's doing and what He will do in the future. So begin to look back in Romans chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in just a moment in verse number 1. So far in the book, we found in the book of Romans that Paul's been spending considerable bit of time detailing the man's need for salvation. Yet I say today that everybody that's ever born in this world has need of salvation in their life. In the first four chapters, we learn about man's sinful condition. We learn that lost people are under the wrath of God. I don't know of any place that I'd rather not be than anywhere I know, and that would be under the wrath of God. And thank the Lord today, by His marvelous grace, I've been saved, washed in the blood, and have been saved by the grace of God. We learn nothing associated with religion, works, law, or any other rituals can provide salvation. We realize that it's totally dependent upon our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so with these truths nailed down, Paul moves forward with the discussion of the doctrine of salvation. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And I tell you today, we preach about a lot of things, but one thing we need to preach more than anything, and that's the thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And friend, the greatest thing that He ever did for you and I was when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in order that we might have salvation. In verse number 1 of chapter number 5, He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together again this morning. I pray now today that Your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. I pray that You'd help me. But Lord, more than that, I pray that You'd help those that come today, that when we leave here, we would leave here rejoicing in the salvation that You've given to us and provided for us. Thank You today that we're not under the law, but we're under grace. And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I pray now that You would guide and direct. Give us, Lord, Your will today. Give us Your wisdom and Your help. And we'll thank You now for what You do, what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I know this might not be appropriate, but I remember hearing an old country song years ago. Some girl, in fact, I remember the name. This was years ago now. Her name was Donna Fargo, and she sang a song, I'm the Happiest Girl in the USA. I don't know if she's still happy or not, but I can tell you I'm still happy. I'm happy to be a child of God and on my way to heaven, and I don't believe anybody could be happy as they need to be unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Being saved is something to be excited about. It's something not to hide, or it's something that we ought to keep to ourselves, but we ought to be rejoicing. The Bible said Jesus came that we might have joy and we might have it abundantly. He said that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 8. And I want to give you some reasons this morning to why we ought to be rejoicing. You said, preacher, you don't know my circumstances. I don't know your circumstances, but I know if you know the Lord, you have something to rejoice about. You have something to be thankful for if you're saved and on your way to heaven. First of all, I want you to notice with me this morning, the very first verse, there's something that tells us there that we can rejoice in our position in Christ. We can rejoice in our position in Christ. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith. That word is a word that we often mention, and I hope that everyone by here by now knows what it means. But literally, the word justified justified means to be declared righteous. I did not do anything on my own to deserve what I have, but one day, because I confessed my sin, I called upon the name of the Lord, and He saved me, but He justified me. He declared me righteous before God. It was as if I never sinned. He covered me with the blood of Jesus Christ, and no longer am I looked upon as being a sinner. I'm looked upon as being a child of God. He counted me for righteousness, to reckon, to account, to judge, to treat, or to look upon as righteous. When the Lord justified us, He made us righteous. We're all sinners. Even though we claim to be a Christian, and I hope that everybody here in this building is a Christian, the truth of the matter is today, even Christians sin in the day that we live in. In fact, any day that we've ever lived in, Christians sin. Even though we're unrighteous and wicked, God treats us as though we are righteous and pure as Himself. I think about today people that go constantly opposite of the way God would have them to go and constantly go against the things that God commands that we do. And yet, in spite of it all, if they're saved, God still loves them with an everlasting love, and He will never forsake them. He will never cast them off because He cares about them. We find even though we're unrighteous and wicked, God cares. How is that possible? It happened, and it's possible because of one word. It was the cross. It was the cross of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ gave His life in order that we might obtain His righteousness by being declared righteous. Imagine a man on trial for murder. The prosecution knows he's guilty. The defendant knows he's guilty. The judge knows he's guilty. But the jury finds that he's not guilty. Has happened on several occasions that we know of. But even though nearly everyone in the courtroom knows the man is guilty of murder, but yet they say not guilty, he's free to go. He's accepted as innocent, and he's able to leave. I want you to know, when we stand before God, I'm going to know I'm guilty. He's going to know I'm guilty. And everybody around is going to know I'm guilty. But He's going to say, not guilty. You're free to go. And I'm grateful today that I'll be going to a place to be with Him forever because I put my faith and trust in Him. Friend, today salvation is not in anything we do, but it's by the faith that we have in God. I heard a message this week entitled, Have Faith in God. And I'm going to tell you today, truly, it seems like a simple message, but today the Christian life needs to be lived as a life of faith. But your Christian life cannot begin unless it begins with faith. In believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this morning in Sunday school, and I say it again, I don't mean to be facetious or even accuse or point my fingers or say, but I want to say that the Bible said not everybody that names the name of Christ shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to heaven because you go to church. You're not going to heaven because you've done good. I'm thankful today salvation is based upon my faith alone. And if I relied on my ability to perform, I know I'd be lost as I could ever be, because I have no strength in myself to save myself. If it required me to keep a list of rules, I tell you, there's a bunch of people today that walk around and say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments the best I can. Friend, there's not a person in this room that can keep the Ten Commandments the way they need to be kept to earn their salvation. In fact, there's no way to earn your salvation keeping the Ten Commandments, but Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and the Bible said He washed it white as snow. I tell you today, I feel pretty good being in the position that I'm in. This week I attended the Independent Baptist, Georgia Baptist Preachers Fellowship up in Atlanta. 2 years ago, I tell you what, I was privileged to get to preach there, and I was grateful for it, but I was very nervous. It was on a big stage, and it was in front of a lot of people, and be honest with you, I didn't enjoy much of the rest of the conference as I was contemplating on preaching and being there. But this week I went, and I tell you what, I wasn't preaching, and I sat and I listened to other preachers, but I'm going to tell you something, my position has not changed. I'm still a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven, saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, if it required me to be a good person, now I hope today you think I'm a good person and I want to be a good person, but I'm not good enough to work my way to heaven. In fact, nobody's good enough to work their way to heaven. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you something. I don't want you to get cocky or to get boastful or to get a big head about it. But I'm going to tell you, you're somebody if you're a child of God. I tell you, you're in a position and a place. Listen, I believe being a child of God is greater than being the King of England, the President of the United States, or any other position anybody else would give you. In fact, I'm not sure that I'd want any of those. But thank God today, the position we have in Christ is the fact that one day this old life is going to be over. It's going to be over quicker than we thought. It sure has gone by quicker than we thought it would. But yet one day we're going to wake up in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you today, I love life. I enjoy my family, love my grandkids, and I love my wife and the ability and the time that we have together down here. But I tell you, I'm looking for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to finish the work that He began in me, and I'm going to go home to be with Him. So we ought to rejoice today about our position. Listen, you may have worked all your life, and you may have never held what would be called a high position. Friend, you got the highest position in the world if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's something to rejoice about. Friend, I tell you what, most Christians walk around like they've lost their best friend. They act like somebody just died. Friend, I want to tell you, He didn't die. We're going to celebrate in a few weeks. He arose, and He rose victorious over the grave, and He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Then we need to rejoice in our possession in Christ. Notice, if you would, the latter part of verse 1. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because we have been justified by the Lord, we have an extraordinary blessings upon our life. The possessions that God's given us. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. I've known people that didn't have much. I've known people that maybe have nothing except what they have in the nursing home or wherever they might be. But I found them to be the richest people in all the world because what they possess in Christ. Friend, understand, you may have stuff down here, but that stuff's not going with you when you die. You're going to leave it all behind. And only what you possess in Christ is what's going to really make a difference as you serve Him. According to Paul, salvation brings about peace with God. This is a truth that's almost hard to believe in our mortal minds. Every lost person, do you hear me? Every lost person, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 7, is an enemy of God. That's hard to think about, isn't it? Somebody said, well, preacher, now I don't know that I'm saved and I've never trusted Christ, but I wouldn't say I was an enemy of God. Well, you are if you're lost, because what you need is to come to Him and be reconciled to Him and be saved by His grace. When a lost person turns to Jesus Christ by faith, God declares an end to the hostilities. He brings him into peace with Him. I tell you today, thank God we can live in the peace of God. The world around us is fluttering and flipping and going all kinds of directions. But I have peace with God in knowing that God has saved my soul, given me a position in Christ, but given me possessions of having peace like I've never had before. Many times people may lay awake at night, and I'm not saying if you're saved you won't never lay awake at night and think about things, because from time to time I do too. But the majority of the time I can lay down, put my head on the pillow, and I ought to be able to do it all the time and know that the peace of God rules and reigns in my life. And friend, I know Him as my Savior. What does this mean when He tells us the believer's immediate peace comes with God? It means, listen to me, God's wrath is turned away from us. I preached last Sunday on the subject of hell. People don't like to hear about hell. They don't like to talk about hell. And I guarantee you, there ain't nobody wants to go to hell. They may not understand the truth there, but I'm telling you, you'll do everything you can to keep yourself out of hell. But I'm telling you, the moment I got saved, God withdrew His wrath from me, because before I got saved, I was destined for punishment. I was destined for hell. The wrath of God was abiding on me. But I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me. Look at verse 9 of that chapter that we're looking at. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Amen. I tell you, I'm excited this morning, not only because I'm saved, but I'm excited because I've been secured and I've been saved from the wrath to come. When I got saved, something else happened. We find that God is satisfied. When we get saved, listen, understand me, and I want you to hear me good. Jesus died for the sins of the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, there's nobody in this room or in this county or in this world that wants to, does not want to go to heaven. Friend, today we understand or want to go to hell. And we're grateful today that what God does is He gives us eternal life and He's satisfied. Friend, I tell you what, it's like a brokenhearted soul over a lost loved one, someone that's away from God or somebody that's out of the will of God. Our hearts are broken. But I tell you what, I think back in my life, there was a time I went the opposite direction. And I tell you, my mother and daddy grieved. I caused them much, much heartache. But I tell you, I remember the last few years of their life, I saw a satisfaction in them like I'd never seen before, because they'd seen their old rebel son turn his life back over to God, be called to preach, go off to Bible school, and yes, they even got to be a part of the ministry of this church for a short period of time before they went to be with the Lord. And I tell you, every time I stood in this pulpit, I could see a sense of satisfaction on their face. Can I remind you that if my mom and dad were so grateful to see me back to the place that I am, you think how much God was satisfied. When we come to Him and we're saved by the grace of God, we put our faith and trust in Him and believe upon Him. He said in 1 John 2:2, and He, now this is a big word, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Let me just verify that word propitiation so it don't throw you off. He is our substitute for our sins. He took our place in order that we would not have to. I tell you, I'm excited this morning because when I got saved, God took His wrath away. And when I got saved, God was satisfied that I was where I needed to be. But thirdly, God and sinners have been reconciled. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. There was an old man that was dying. An old saint was dying. He was visited by a friend. The friend wanted to be sure he knew he was saved. He said, "Have you made peace with God?" The dying man said, "No, I haven't." And to this, the friend replied, "What? Oh, you must make peace with God." He said, "I'm sorry, I cannot do that." His friend said, "But you must. Don't you know that it's dangerous to die without making peace with God?" And here's what he said. He said, "But how can I make peace with God? My Lord made peace with me over 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross, and I accepted it, and I've had peace ever since." Friend, today we can't make peace with God. We can just accept the peace that He's given to us when He died on the cross for our sin. In Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." We don't have to make peace with God. We're just directed to make peace, or to come and to accept the peace that He made on the cross of Jesus Christ. Then, quickly, and I've got to keep moving. Look at verse 2. He says, now, we've got peace with God. What a benefit. What a blessing to have the peace of God. Listen, when it comes to dying, people talk about living grace and sustaining grace. But how about that dying grace? Because you know that God's with you. But then in verse 2, He said, "By whom also we have access by faith." Friend, I'm glad to know today that I've got access to my Heavenly Father. I have access to enter into the presence of my King. I can come before His throne daily. I can come anytime I want. I'll never be turned away because I have access. Somebody may go to some place that's private and they say, "Are you cleared to get in?" I tell you, He cleared me to get in when I got saved by the grace of God. He opened up the throne room of heaven and He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and blessing in my sight." What a blessing that is. There must have been a radical idea to Paul's believers. Most of them came from a religious background. And if you remember in the Old Testament, listen, it was impossible for you to have access to where where God was. You had to have somebody to represent you, and somebody had to go in and offer the sacrifice for your sins. But thank God, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the access was open and given to whosoever would let him come. The Gentiles were restricted to the outer court of the temple. It was called the court of the Gentiles. That was as far as they could go. If they went any further, they'd be executed. The women were restricted to the court of women. Then there was the holy place where only the priests could minister. And then there was the holy of holies, and only the high priest could enter into that room. And only once a year, by the way, on the Day of Atonement, could he enter into with the blood of the innocent sacrifice. The message was clear: keep your distance, keep out. But thank God, Paul's message is simple. Jesus gave us full clearance. He gave us access to the throne of grace as we stood before him. The story is told of a little boy that stood at Buckingham Palace one day. He went to the gate and a guard stopped him and he said, "Sir, I want to see the king." He said, "I'm sorry, but you cannot see the king. You will not be allowed to be in here." The little boy put his head down and he began to cry. That had been the dream of his life, to always see the king. And he turned, and as he was sitting there crying, this gentleman walked up to him. He said, "Son, what are you crying? Why are you crying?" He said, "I want to see the king, but they told me I couldn't see the king." He said, "You take my hand. You don't worry about them. You come on with me." They began to walk into the palace, and they walked past the guards. The guards looking, they had standing at attention. They walked right on past. They walked into the palace. They walked down the long corridor, the carpeted walls, and all the things that was there, the beauty of that palace. And then all of a sudden, they got to a room, and the man with him opened the door. And as they walked in, there on the throne sat the king. And as they walked up to him, he introduced him, and he said, "This is so-and-so, and he was out here, and he's always wanted to see the king. And I brought him to see the king." You know what made the difference? It was the king's son that brought the little boy to see the king. Can I remind you that it was God's son that took us by the hand when we couldn't get where we was going? I tell you, everything said keep out. Everything said stay away, keep your distance. But Jesus took us right on into the throne room. And by the grace of God, we've been there ever since. Not only is there peace with God and access into God's presence, but we have the blessed assurance of salvation. He said in the latter part of verse 2, he said, "Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Friend, I tell you today, these folks that believe you can lose your salvation, I tell you, I tell them this, sometimes you can't convince them. I said, "Well, if I was you, I'd just be sure I was saved." But I'm thankful today that every day I don't have to plead and ask God to save me again and again, because what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, his blood was sufficient to save me forever and ever and ever and give me eternal life. And I tell you, I'm rejoicing today because of what God has done. Grace wherein we stand. Stand carries the idea of permanence. It carries the idea of being firmly fixed and immovable. Many believe a person can be saved and then somehow lose it. And they laugh at us that believe in security of the believer. They express the security the believer is. They believe, you know, we think you can just go out and sin, do what you want to do. But we're just saved by the grace of God, justified. Friend, when God declares you something, he don't retract on it. He don't go back. He gives you eternal life. Salvation is given as a gift. I'm grateful today that I was saved by the grace of God. I'm kept by the grace of God. And as I said a while ago, I pray to die by the grace of God. In Romans 8, 31 through 34, "What shall they say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how can he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us." There's always someone that wants to know. They say, "Well, what if?" You know, yeah, we could say what if about a lot of things. But there's one thing we know. We know that Jesus died to provide salvation. Somebody said, "Well, what if I deny him?" Well, 2 Timothy 2:13 said, "If you believe not, Yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny self. Peter denied him. Was he not a follower of God? And there may come a time in people's life, and again, I'm saying, you say, well, how can you, if you sin against God after you're saved, then God's gonna, he's gonna turn you away. No, he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, he does not justify it. He does not say that it's okay. And believe me, I'm not going to preach on this morning, but there's chastisement on the child of God that continually sins. But he will never retract or take back what he's given to us in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear this often. What if I cannot hold out? Well, he said in Philippians 1:16, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I can't hold out. I tell you, you can't hold out. But I tell you, we don't have to hold out. We just have to hold on. Or actually, he's holding on to us. And I tell you today, we don't have to worry about what if I cannot hold out. If you're saved, I know a bunch of people that I believe were saved by the grace of God. And in their latter years, they got so far away from God, they turned their back on God. You said, preacher, do you really believe they went to heaven? Absolutely. If they were saved and born again, I believe they went to heaven. Not because God justifies sin, but because God saved them for all eternity. Somebody said, what if I sin after I'm saved? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Somebody said, what if God changes his mind about me? John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, he said, I'll no wise cast out. Friend, God doesn't change his mind of salvation. Now, I have some what ifs. What if we start looking for a reason not to believe and just started believing the Lord? What if we believe the same God who was powerful enough to save us is the same God that's powerful enough to keep us? What if we let eternal mean eternal and everlasting mean everlasting? And what if we rejoice in the salvation we have and rested in the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine? What if we stopped looking for a reason to doubt God and just took him at his word? You can have absolute assurance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today. I'm as sure of heaven as I've ever been before because Jesus saved me and gave me eternal life. I'm rejoicing this morning because of my position in Christ. I'm rejoicing in my possession in Christ. But thirdly and lastly, I see we already got it, but rejoice in your privileges in Christ. Verses 3 through 5, and not only so, now listen, this might be a little hard to swallow, hard to think about, but not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He tells me that I can rejoice in my troubles. Now, Paul says the Christian can rejoice in bad times just as he can in the good times. The same God that's the God of the valley is the same God that's the God of the mountain. And friend, today you can trust God through tribulation. Tribulation, the word tribulation means pressure. But we know one thing, no matter what, God's in control. We know that all things work together for the good of them to love God. We can recognize our troubles. Paul tells us all about the benefits derived from the pressures of life. Think about this. If we didn't have these things, we'd not have these other things. Somebody said, well, it starts with tribulation, and I'll just stop right there if it's all right with you. Well, it might be, but the Bible says tribulation brings about patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. Friend, I tell you, there's a lot of people today that are a lot more mature in Christ, not because of the good times, but because of the bad times, the difficulties that God put them in a place where they had to trust him. When troubles come in our life as a result of our walk with the Lord, we're to endure with endurance so we can mature and improve our character. God sustains us in difficult times. We can rest in his control. The more we endure for Jesus, the more we can become like him. The road to maturity is paved with struggles. Let's ask some of the people in the Bible. Ask Abraham. he'll point to Mount Moriah. Ask Jacob, he'll point to the pillar of stone. Ask Joseph, and he'll point to the Egyptian prison. Ask Moses, and he'll point to the backside of the desert. Ask the three Hebrew children, they'll point to the fiery furnace. Ask Daniel, and he'll point to the den of lions. Ask Peter, and he'll point to the Roman fire and his three denials. Ask John, and he'll point to the Isle of Patmos. Ask Paul, and he'll point to his thorn. Ask any believer who's traveled far with Jesus, and he'll tell you, God's blessings sometimes are poured out of a bitter cup. Friend, it's not always easy, but we can rejoice in the hard times. He said in Romans 8:29 that he may conform us to the image of his Son. And sometimes to be conformed to the image of his Son, troubles must come. We not only can rejoice in tribulation, but we can rest in troubles. The life is difficult. Paul tells us the love of God, like a vast ocean, is being poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit. We got saved. God placed his Spirit upon us. The Holy Spirit is a conduit which streams the endless bounty of the great love of God. As we go through life, there's going to be some difficult days. I tell you today, probably the hardest thing that a preacher has to deal with is many times getting that call or going to that home or going to that hospital and getting the bad news that we've got. But listen, he said, think it not strange. Think it not strange when trouble comes your way. For we know, the Bible said in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen, because he trusteth in thee. There's reasons more than sufficient for every child today to rejoice. I tell you, we could go home today and we can rejoice. It's a beautiful day outside. We've had some beautiful days lately. We can rejoice in the blessings of the family and the home and all that God's done for us. But I tell you, the most important thing we ought to rejoice about is that God gave us eternal life and saved us by his grace. Friend, I don't know your status this morning, but you may be here today, and maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never been justified. You may be here today, maybe you're saved, but you've got some doubts, and you're just not sure, and you just want to be sure. And I tell you today, can you imagine the burden of living another day, not knowing whether you're going to heaven, and not knowing when you might stand in the presence of God? It could be today. Get it settled and know today beyond a shadow of a doubt. When you're going through trials and tribulations, you know, they may not get better. I hear people often say sometimes when they start trying to serve God, it seemed like they got worse. Friend, don't let that deter you. That's the devil trying to destroy you. But I guarantee you one thing, if you follow God, there's going to be some difficulty along the way. But I tell you today, I stand and rejoice in what God has done and what he will do if we'll continue to trust him. Friend, there's been things happen in my life. There's been things happen in your life. And I tell you, to be truthful, if we could orchestrate it, we would not have orchestrated it that way. But that's the way God saw fit. And he's my Lord, and he's my Savior. And I'm grateful today that I'm saved by the grace of God. And I tell you, no matter what's going on around me, no matter what's happening in Washington, no matter what's happening in our city, no matter what's happening all around the world, Jesus still loves me, and he's coming one day to take me home to be with him. Friend, rejoice that we know that we know that we know that we've been born again by the grace of God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to stand here this morning. Lord, I pray for your blessings, and I pray that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name would be exalted, lift up, and glorified. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to rejoice if we're saved. If we're not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get saved. It'd be a shame for anybody to sit under the message this morning and die and go to hell. Lord, thank you for saving us from your wrath, giving us eternal life, and one day coming back for us. We ask now that your will be done. Guide and direct, we pray, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.